chapter 22, A Long Way from Nonsense. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right-hand throne of God. Hebrews 12, 2.
Before I became a Christian, a verse that encouraged me to fix my eyes on Jesus sounded like nothing short of nonsense. In the first place, could anyone prove that this Jesus ever really existed? In the second place, if he did exist, he's dead by now, so who cares? And third, if he did exist, and if he did still have meaning for people today, how do you fix your eyes on a person you can't see? Do you sort of stare at a corner and hope he's there? A book by Josh McDowell called The Resurrection Factor was one of the chief tools God used to help me answer these questions and bring me to faith in the risen Christ. I quickly learned that no one seriously questioned the existence of Jesus any longer for the simple reason that more evidence supports his existence as a real person of history than exists for almost any other major figure of antiquity. If you want to doubt the existence of Jesus, you had better also disbelieve in Julius Caesar, Plato, Confucius, and a host of others. I wasn't ready to do that. But so what if he existed? How did that affect me? This is where Josh's book was most helpful. By citing expert testimony after expert testimony, and by presenting fact after fact, he proved to me that Jesus not only lived in Palestine 2,000 years ago, but that he rose again from the grave after being crucified. He cited scholars like B.F. Westcott who said, "Taking all the evidence together, it is not too much to say that there is no historic incident better or more variously supported than the resurrection of Christ." I don't have space here to review all the reasons Josh's book was so compelling to me. You can read it for yourself. I wish you would. The shorter version is he convinced me that Jesus had risen from the dead. I could not deny the resurrection of Christ. And because he rose from the grave, I could accept his words and claims in the Bible. Josh did more, however, than convince me that a historical event took place. He also showed me why it was important. George Eldon Ladd concludes, "The only rational explanation for these historical facts is that God raised Jesus in bodily form." A believer in Jesus Christ today can have complete confidence, as did the first Christians, that his faith is based not on myth or legend, but on the solid historical fact of the risen Christ and the empty tomb. Most important of all, the individual believer can experience the power of the risen Christ in his life today. First of all, he can know that his sins are forgiven. Second, he can be assured of eternal life and his own resurrection from the grave. Third, he can be released from a meaningless and empty life and be transformed into a new creature in Jesus Christ. Believe me, I wanted all of those three things. I wanted to know my sins were forgiven. I wanted to be assured of eternal life and my own resurrection from the grave. And I desperately wanted to be released from a meaningless and empty life. If that meant being transformed by faith into a new creature in the living Jesus Christ, then I wanted it. So I confessed my sins to God, asked for forgiveness, and placed my trust in the risen Christ. That's how I became a Christian. As I grew in the Lord, however, the answer to that third question was still a little hazy. How do you fix your eyes on a person you can't see? Even the Apostle Peter admitted, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." 1 Peter 1:8 and 9. I experienced some of that inexpressible and glorious joy. But still, how do we today fix our eyes on Jesus when we can't see him? Eventually, I learned the answer, through faith. It's a different kind of seeing than our physical eyes are equipped for. As Paul would write, "I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe." Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. That's how we fix our eyes on Jesus. We do not go looking for visions or mystical appearances or the like. Not long ago, I heard about people flocking to see an image of Christ that supposedly appeared in a tortilla. No joke. That's not how we fix our eyes on Jesus. We obey that command by filling our minds with His Word, by studying the gospel accounts of His earthly life, by staying in constant touch with Him through prayer, and by maintaining fellowship with His people. We remember what He suffered on our behalf to free us from our sins, and we look to His example as someone who through faith obeyed His Father's commands, even though it cost Him His life for the joy that was set before Him. In that way, we can see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because He suffered death, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Hebrews 2, 9 and 10. Today I don't think fixing my eyes on Jesus is nonsense. I know it's the only way I'll survive in this world. When I fix eyes of faith on my Savior, I am thrilled to see Him seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And even more remarkable than that, when I look into His Word, I hear Him say to me, "To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on His throne." Revelations 3:21. I want to overcome, and the way to do that is by fixing my eyes on Jesus. It's not such a bad sight. Jesus, His Father, and me. You know, I think I could get used to sitting on a throne. Adolf Harnack says, "Christ's grave was the birthplace of an indestructible belief that death is vanquished and there is life eternal."